With lessons the Lord is teaching the Israelites and us in the desert, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
You must learn to depend. You must learn to trust. You must learn to stop going in your own strength. You must learn to stop using your own human wisdom, ingenuity. You must learn to be satisfied with my leading and the bread that I supply for you.
Trusting and resting in Christ, that is a wilderness experience. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're back in Exodus chapter 16, looking at verses 22 through 36. A Sabbath in the Wilderness is the title of our message today. Here's Pastor Chris.
They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he's heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" But they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Now our text. And on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain, each of you, in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, we have really learned and been studying how difficult wilderness life really is, haven't we? This has really been a moving study for me to understand, as we've already somewhat considered today, the life of sanctification likened here to this wilderness way, this wilderness journey on the way to the promised land. You'll notice the end of that said that the Lord sustained them on this bread all the way until they entered the land, the goal. The most troubling thing that we have witnessed in our study so far of them out in the wilderness is their desire to return to Egypt, their desire to go back. You remember last week, oh, that we had died, in verse 3, by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate to the full. You've brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. I mean, what a just astonishing charge, which shows the problem of a grumbling human heart that is just something that constantly comes out of us. The book of Numbers helps us and tells us that what had happened to Israel was that they had become discouraged along the way. And the real thing that we're learning from Israel is that this wilderness life is hard, it's full of pain, it's full of sorrows, it's full of tests, it's full of discouragements. Little did they expect this. What was in their minds? What did they think it would be? And so they were constantly looking back to Egypt and looking at this in a larger picture in theological terms. They were looking back to their bondage. They wanted to go back to their bondage. They wanted to go back to being, Romans 6, slaves to sin. Bondage to another master. And that is why it was just so terribly evil. So what we're seeing here is that this life of sanctification is learning to believe and to trust the Lord regardless of circumstance, in the tyranny of circumstances. In other words, you could say it this way. We say we're justified by faith. We're also learning that sanctification is by faith the whole way through. Trusting the Lord's promises. Trusting what the Lord has said. Learning, as Paul said, in whatever state I am, to be content, he said. I will be content. I've learned how to be abound and to abase. We should rest on his word. We should love his commandments. All of his truth should drive our actions. All of his gracious promises and the way that he's treated us. What more could he do for us than what he has done? And yet he still continues to provide. That's what we've been seeing. Deuteronomy gives us a little bit of purpose into this in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when it says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, so that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell in these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Purpose. You must learn to depend. You must learn to trust. You must learn to stop going in your own strength. You must learn to stop using your own human wisdom, ingenuity. You must learn to be satisfied with my leading and the bread that I supply for you. And that gets to the heart of the test this morning. That gets to the heart of the test that's before us. As their complaint grew, so did this test. It grew. The Lord was testing them, and the scene we left off in last, he has rained down quail from heaven like fine dust all over their doorsteps. It has landed before them. He has rained down manna from heaven. He is providing for them. He's caring for them, but now he interjects a new kind of test. It was the test of the Sabbath, specifically mentioned there. What we see is that the Sabbath was intended to be a blessing and a refreshment for them in their wilderness way. It was to be a time of real joy and refreshment in resting in His provisions. We look at this today, and I suppose that's a good way to begin, to look at the intention or the blessing of the Sabbath, to look at the test that God used with the Sabbath, and then to look at what their breaking of the Sabbath really exposed. So the blessing of the Sabbath, the test of the Sabbath, and the breaking of the Sabbath. If you go back to verse 4, what we read a moment ago, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And then verse 5, on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You'll notice down in verse 22, on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the Israel came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till morning. So they did it. Now, here they are at the beginning sort of their wilderness way, but what we find is rather shocking. God, somehow along the way, has made it really clear to Moses that Israel was to Sabbath. They were to rest. Now remember, everything is different for them. They're no longer in bondage. They've been used to, and you sort of have to put yourself in their shoes for a moment. They've been used to a whole way of life. They've been used to a rigorous work routine, haven't they? They've been used to a rigorous work schedule. Bricks without straw was the end of the whole thing. Whips and beatings. There was no day of rest in Egypt. There was no Sabbath in Egypt. Do you think the Israelites ever got to break from the cruelty and rigor of their work? You think Pharaoh said, oh, it's the Lord's day of rest, let me give it to them? No. It's cruel bondage. Bondage in Egypt was fierce. Work was hard. Work was stressful. It came with beatings if you didn't meet your quotas. You think you're stressed. There was no practice. So what's fascinating here is that the Lord breaks their bondage. He shatters the bondage from sin, we know, is the major teaching. He delivers them. He passes them through. He baptizes them in the sea. He resurrects them to a brand new life, passing them through. This is the whole way the New Testament applies this great story. They sing the song of salvation, which is ultimately the song of the Lamb, Revelation 16, you remember. But ever since then, they've been fighting the old nature, haven't they? They've been craving for pots of meat. I don't think it was that good. You know the nostalgia of looking back to the past. It all represents their cravings for sin. They're craving for the former way of life. And the Lord's been teaching them to trust Him in the wilderness, to depend on Him, to live by His word. It's in this connection that the Lord now says, you need to rest. You need to stop on the seventh day. Every seventh day, I want you to stop from all of your traveling, your working, your provision, everything that you're doing. I want you to stop, and I want you to take a delight in me. I want you to pattern me. But what do you mean? Well, the Lord lavishes down upon them another gracious gift in the wilderness. The Sabbath. Another gracious gift. The Sabbath was this anticipation, and you'll notice this rooted in this text. It was the anticipation. Hebrews is really working from this pattern here. It is the anticipation that they would no longer needed to be provided food in the wilderness, because they will have arrived. You notice that's the end of this whole section. They got there. They no longer needed manna, but he gave it all the way until they entered the land. Well, what was the land typifying? It anticipated the eternal rest. This is how, again, the whole New Testament has applied these things and looked at these things. They had entered the land. This is verse 35. And the children of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of Canaan. As soon as they passed over, manna was done. In fact, Joshua says, then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. So all of this was in anticipation of arrival. All of this was provision to get there. So they were sustained on the manna until the day they would enter the land and have no more need but eat freely off the land with no more enemies. Well, that's designed to teach you a lot about wilderness life, isn't it? It's not so hard to figure out. Canaan is a type of the new heavens and the new earth. The land was to be cleansed of all enemies. They were to inhabit it. It was the land of milk and honey. It was promised to Abraham. And you know that you're looking for something. You're being sustained in the wilderness until you get to the day when you enter glory and you are going to partake right of the tree of life. And this is the story. Point is, they hadn't gotten there yet. You haven't gotten there yet. And the Lord wanted them to rest to anticipate this, to go in his strength, when they would no longer have to gather and no longer have to work. Now maybe work has been so good in the U.S. and we have so much free time, we don't really know what work can be anymore. 6 days, he would rain down bread for them, and every day they were to go and work and gather the bread, the manna, and they were to only take according to their need. And on the sixth day, the Lord would rain down twice as much for them. So day by day, they were taught to trust. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the prayer the Lord has taught us to pray. In the wilderness, the bread from heaven. And then on that day, they would rest, anticipating the day when they would no longer ever have to go out and gather again. They would enter their rest. Now, the Sabbath would be the key defining mark of Israel. What's so striking is that the command did not just originate at Mount Sinai. Now, that's really important this morning because I often hear with the Ten Commandments that the Sabbath was just for Israel. And what we're finding here is that it was before the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Sabbath before Sinai. And the reason for this is because God had rooted this in creation, normative for everyone. At creation, God himself rested. Remember what Genesis 2:1 said, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Was God tired? No. He neither faints nor becomes weary. But God taught us all something. He delighted in his work. He enjoyed the work of his hands. The seventh day was a day that then God, after saying, it's good, it's good, it's good, he sanctified it and he said, this is the rest with which people are to anticipate and enjoy. One of the most amazing things about creation is that God created us in his image so that we might pattern him. Now, the end of creation is the glory of God. The resting signifies the fact that his work is completed and he is glorified through it. Sin came. Jesus said, my Father and I are working until now to complete the project again. The point is, Sabbath was intended to be a major blessing in the wilderness. Listen to the intention in the law that I read this morning in Deuteronomy 5. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. I delivered you. I pulled you out of there. I need you to stop and never forget this. So I'm giving you this rest. I want you to rest so that you would remember you've been delivered from your sin, that you've been delivered from your bondage, that you've been set free from all of your misery, the cruelty of Pharaoh, the tyranny of the devil. It's broken. But you're seeing the problem with the human heart after, right? Sanctification's a mess. So put this together. I know your wilderness life's hard. I know you're all beat up. I know that you're going through major discouragements. I know right now many of you are greatly discouraged about many things. The Lord is. This is the Lord's word to you. I know that. I understand that. So I'm going to provide for you. I know you're going out 6 days and you're working. Think of how this is still our structure. I know you're out there 6 days. In your daily work, in your daily gathering, I'm going to provide. You ask me. You come to me every day. I'll provide for you. Give me this day my daily bread. I'll supply. If a man asks his father for bread, is he going to give him a stone? I'll sustain you. But I want you every seventh day to stop. Now, later on, I'm going to go and explain for you why we do this on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. Some of you are thinking about that, and we'll look at that. I'm not going to do that right in this sermon. But the principle of a work-rest principle is all throughout Scripture. I want you to put aside your wilderness struggles. I know they're real. I want you to step away from it, and I'm going to give you a time to completely reflect upon me and my work for you. I'm going to give you a time to glorify me because I know your mind's race. You can't stay focused on much of anything. You're running around everywhere. I'm going to give you to come and sit, calm you down without crows. I'm going to give this to you. And I want to send you double food on this day. I'm going to give you double food. For what purpose? I want you to know that I love you.
Man, it is so easy to get into the habit that the Israelites were in, isn't it? The minute we find discomfort in this life, we want to complain and blame God. All the while, it's His desire to draw us close to Him, that we might trust and rest in Him than our own selves, and realize and understand just how much He really does love us. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. And then come back and join us tomorrow. Our studies in Exodus continue on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.